It wasn't very long after that. I think it was the last of March. That was the 1st of January, the last of March. But maybe over across the street. Me and I had wanted to go back home and see my mother. And her sister went and lived over there on the next street at the corner. And then another sister stopped there. And she was going to drive to Florida the next morning. After I found out that the sister was gone. So that one sister went over here and says, "Winnie, you've always wanted to go home." She said, "Would you like to go to Florida or go as far as you can with my sister?" I said, "What would she charge me?" She charged me for gas, half of gas and oil, and I paid my own eats and paid my own overnight hotel, because she said she'd stay overnight and she'd drive about 500 miles and then stay overnight. And I said, "That'll be fine." And she said, "Did you think you can get ready?" I said, "All I need to do is go up to the post office and get some certificates out of the post office and get to the bank and get my traveler's checks, and I'll be ready to go." I said, "The clothes, I said, I can just throw them in and wash them when I get back there if I don't have enough cleaners, but I said, I'd come home and wash them out that night so they'd dry the next morning, but be dry the next day." So the buses wasn't running. So the one sister went to another sister, said, "Can you get one of the uptown?" They just got me up to the post office. I got my certificate. I got right over to the bank, and right after I got in the bank, he shut the door. I thought, my soul, I'm going to be left. And then I got up to the window. One window shut up. Another window shut up. Another window shut up. And I thought, are they going to wait on me? So finally I got to the window where they'd wait on me to get my travel check. And I said, I won't go unless I get travel check. It's too safe. Not safe enough. So I got my travel check. So I knew then I was going to get going. So I come home and I washed out a few undies. I didn't have a suitcase with me, so I took a great big paper bag and I stuffed some stuff in it. I said, "Well, I can buy a bag or an overnight bag or anything along the way." I said, "I've got the money and I can buy anything I want along the way and I don't have to take too much." Well, she had her back end of her truck, her car pretty well packaged anyway. I guess she was moving to Florida. Her husband was there. You know, I don't know whether she comes from Sacramento or wherever. So my husband was still down at Palm Springs. That was on a Friday morning. Well, anyway, they said, "What you going to do? You going to tell your husband?" I said, "When he gets home, he'll know I'm going." Oh, goodness me. So then the next morning, oh, it was so foggy, you couldn't see across the street. She said, "Well, I'm not going to this foggy night stuff." I said, "Well, all right, you don't go, all right. But if you do go, I'll go along with you." So I guess we started out about 10 o'clock. So we've gone past the Palm Springs. He said, "Do you want to go over and see your husband?" I said, "I don't know where he's staying. He's staying at some trailer. And I don't know where he's working. He's a carpenter, but I don't know where he's working." And I said, "Why take the time?" I said, "When he gets home tonight, he'll find out." Well, when he come home, all three kids, they told him, the mom went back to. Well, he didn't object to, because he'd known that I didn't want to go to see mom for a long, long time. And he went back beforehand. He took my niece back home, so he got to go back anyway. So he didn't object to me going, but he was kind of surprised that I had a chance to go. But anyway, then, let's see. And before I went here at the Queen's Day, they sent me a check for $25 because I was to get a suit from the Miss store. Well, I wasn't a Miss, so they had to do something in place of a small suit, because my suit was size 42 and that wasn't from Miss store. And so they sent me $25. So on the way back, I wrote them a letter, and I thanked them. I said, "I'm getting to make my trip." I said, "That was what I wanted, to go see my mother." And I said, "I thank you for this $25. When I told some of them they only gave me $25, some of them said, "Mad," said, "Why didn't they give you $125? Said a suit cost a lot, you know, at that time." I said, "Well, $25 was a whole lot to me, and I appreciated it." But anyway, I got to go back. Well, on the way, the day before, I got into Mississippi. At Hattiesburg, Mississippi, I left her because she was going on to Florida, and I was going on to New Orleans to where my son was in camp down there at Biloxi, Mississippi. So I took the bus down there. Well, the day before I took the bus, I wrote him a letter. I hadn't written to Mom or anybody that I was coming back there. So I wrote him a letter. I said, "I'll be there the next day about a certain time." He said when he got ready, he was going to go uptown, and he said somebody hollered his name, Bowman, that it had mail. He said when he got my letter, he almost fell over. He said he couldn't believe that his mother would come to visit him at camp. I said, "Why not?" I said, "Who shouldn't come visit you?" I said, "I had a chance, so I come." So he said, "Well, Mom, you sit here at the sink out in front, you know. And he says, I think I can get out to go uptown all night. So he went back and signed up for whatever he had to finish up doing. And he came back, and we went uptown, and we got to see the Mardi Gras. Well, I always wanted to see the Mardi Gras. So I got to see the Mardi Gras. That isn't something.
What was that like?
It's like, were you ever down at the Pike on New Year's Eve?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you never was. You've never seen them all dressed up with all kinds of faces and everything, Halloween night or anything.
They did that at the Pike, too?
Yeah, but that was Halloween instead of New Year's. Yeah. It was Halloween. But this was, well, they were dressed in all kinds. They had those great big things on their heads, just like Chinese and everything. They were dressed every way, but you wouldn't know who you were talking to. You didn't know any of them. So we didn't dress up. But we got to stay all night. So he says, Mom, I wish you'd stay over, because that would be on Saturday. And then Sunday, he said he could visit me more. I said, Vernon, I said, my knee was bothering me. I had hurt my knee to bother me, and it was stiff like that. It wouldn't straighten up. I was crippled, and my knee was a pain in me. And I said, I want to get up to Indiana as soon as I can. So it was raining, all was pouring down. And so when I got to Jackson, Mississippi then, I pushed my way on the bus because I was bound to tell me I was going to get out of there. Well, I made some of them stand back a little bit till I got through and got on that bus. On that way, because we knew, and I wanted to get out, get away from anywhere I was going to go, because some of the rest of them, they weren't going to go a short distance anyhow, but we didn't know that till afterwards. But anyway, I got on the bus. Well, just before I got on the bus, I called home and told the center to notify my mother I was on my way up to Indiana and about how long it would take for me to get there. So she called my brother then, and he was supposed to meet me in town in Millersport, Indiana. So I got to stay there for about a week or so. And I make it around. But when I used to go to Chicago before, and I had to go to visit my mother. I'd go to Chicago and then go out to South Bend on what they call some kind of railway, you know. And then I would stay all night in Chicago at some of the best hotels. Some of them said, gee, says she sure likes to, she can go to these hotels and stay at any of them. I says, why not? I pay my bill when I go in. I says, why can't I stay as long as there's room? So this one night, some old guy followed me upstairs. Well, he was kind of giving me I don't know how you said, as if I was one of those women that wasn't what I ought to be. So I didn't pay any attention to him. I just let him go right on past me and walked into the door, and I locked it off. So he knew that I wasn't there for anything else. I went there to sleep is what I went there for. Well, I went to bed after I took a bath. I went to bed and I slept good. Then I went to a show. They had some shows, and I can't think what they were, radio shows at that time. I can't recall what shows they were. But I went to different hotels. I went to the Hilton. I think it was the Hilton Hotel. I believe it was the Hilton, or Wilton, whichever they call it. I think it was the Hilton. And I stayed at that. I could get in there anywhere, because I told them that I lived out here at Long Beach, and they had a Hilton Hotel here, you know. And I didn't have any trouble with any of them. I stayed at any of those nice places. Well, I didn't go to some old honky talk place. I went to a nice hotel. I paid plenty for it, but then why not? I was in safe. It was a safe place for me. And I didn't do wrong with any of them, so I went about my own business. And one time when I flew out to New York, I got to Chicago, and I had to wait and wait and wait. I wish I could have stayed on the same plane, because I'd have been in New York that day. I had to wait for it all day, and I decided, since I was in Chicago, I had the time, I was going all the way to New York, because I wanted New York State. I'd heard so much about New York State. I asked for the ticket, you know, but I had to wait all day long. Well, I think I got into New York at night that time, and I got to see the Statue of Liberty at night. Well, when I got there, the taxi picked me up, and I said, I want to go to the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. I haven't heard so much about it. He says, lady, he says, I imagine you like I am. I don't think you ever work so hard or make so much money, but what you ought to go to one of the other hotels. I says, well, I says, what's wrong with the ambassador? He says, it's a name. And he says, you pay for the name. He says, you might see some of these smart alecks and some of these people there, but he says, I would advise you go to the ambassador or one of the others. I says, I'll let you take me somewhere where I can get a New York steak, a good steak. So he dropped me off. I believe he was in the bus, if I remember right. Well, I wasn't going to stay all night there. And when I got in, he says, where's your escort? I said, I don't have an escort, but I said, I'd like to have something to eat. Well, I couldn't go in this one room because they had to have escorts. I said, I don't care about them. I said, I don't have an escort, but I said, I'd like to have something to eat. I said, I've come all the way from California, and I haven't had a good meal since I left there. And I said, I'd like to have a New York steak. So they took me in at another place, and they set me down. Boy, they treated me royally then. And I said, I'd come from California, you know. And I
when,
said,
when was that?
Well, that was one time when I went to see my mother, and I can't recall just what year it was. But the time I went all the way to New York, anyway. The only time I ever went to New York. Well, then after that, it cost me $5 for the steak, besides everything else went with it. And I had everything with the salad and coffee and potatoes and everything that they served, you know. I think it was over $10 besides my tip, but I gave them a good tip, and that not for the people, they just thought I was a cheap thing. And I give them a real good tip, they couldn't have treated me any nicer. But then I decided then, instead of staying in New York, I thought to myself, gee, they'll break me up if I stick around here paying that much for one meal, then I'm going to Washington, D.C. So I called up and got a plane to Washington, D.C. But instead of getting a good plane, I had to take an old two-engine plane to Fort Wayne and into Washington, D.C. Well, I made it, though. As long as I made it, I guess that was all right. So then when I got to Washington, D.C., I had forgotten I had as much time as I thought I had. I was thinking I didn't have so much time because I only have about 2 weeks, you know, you got to make it a fact. When I got to Washington, D.C., I discovered, gee, I could stay over another night at Washington, D.C. So I hurried back after I left the room, took the suitcase, left the room paid up. If I owed anything, I always pay ahead of time. So I went back to the airport, and I wanted to know if I could give up my ticket to go back to Chicago. A lot of the people standing around there, they was tickled pink that they could get a ticket back to Chicago. I said, I don't want to go back to Chicago if they'll refund me and let me go to, from Washington, D.C. to Indiana. That was kind of left from Indiana. Well, anyway, I had to wait a little bit on my plane there, but they took me to Indiana. It didn't cost me quite as much, and they refunded my money to Chicago and let somebody go back to Chicago. Some of them was thrilled that they got to go to Chicago because it was so crowded. It was a time when, I can't think whether it was a holiday or what it was, but it was crowded, you know, and people wanted to get back to Chicago. So then I got to Indiana, South Bend. Now, if I remember right, I think I stayed all night at a hotel there. I didn't call my brother till the next morning. I told him, I said, I'd like to see you. Then he says, how am I going to see you when you're way out to California? Well, I said, how about me being here in South Bend? I said, would you like to come see me? He almost told himself. He couldn't believe that I got all the way around there all by myself. Oh, at the hotel when they were talking about me not having escort. I said, well, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt has gone all over the world, and she didn't always have an escort. And I said, why should I have an escort? That was one thing I said to them, and that's when they sat me down and treated me pretty good then. But I spoke of whatever I could think of to say. So I said, well, she's gone over the world, and I said, why can't I just come here to New York? Because then it was all right for me. Well, then I got to South Bend, so my brother then took me down home to my mother's, and the next day down the phone. It's about 50 miles down there, but he drove down. So I stayed there with Mom for quite a while. No, I used to go back almost every year, except the year I went to Honolulu. I went back to see my mother almost every year after 46. But we didn't know how long it was going to last. She lasted until 59. So that was wonderful.
Juanita, were you aware of McCarthyism? Yes.
At the time that it was going on, what was that like?
Well, I don't know too much about it, because I didn't pay too much about politics. I never entered in politics or anything that way. I just go vote the way I wanted to vote, and the rest of them could say or do whatever they wanted to do. But I never took up on McCarthyism. But there was quite a lot of about McCarthyism. And what it was about, I can't tell you that, because I don't know enough about it. And I forgot if I ever read it. The papers, a lot of times I didn't even read the papers. And at that time, I don't think we had the TV. Maybe we had one, but I'm not sure. We had radio, but I don't think we had TV. And I never paid enough attention to politics, because my husband was a Democrat and I was a Republican, and I never deal in it. If he found out anything, I'd just let it go in one idea, because we never talked politics after that. He used to say, God in heaven could never change my mind. I said, no.
Were you involved in activities outside the home after?
After we got out of, after I quit work.
After you quit Douglas, when you were working at the VA, or?
No, not too much. I don't remember of any at all. At one time, I joined the Blue Star Mothers, but I think that was after I was laid off at the VA, if I recall. I can't recall what year. But one of the girls that worked at the VA got me into the Blue Star Mothers, and I went there for quite a while. But I can't recall those dates, unless I run across something that showed me, like it was with Mary Brickner Lake or something like that. I recall that real good, you know. But the rest of the dates, I can't recall.
What about special women friends that you spent time with?
I never had too many friends around, because I never had the time to visit. I knew most of the neighbors in this block, and I mean by sight. I worked with one of them, the third or fourth house down. I worked with her at Douglas for a while. But the rest of them, I never played cards with any of them or anything like that. Now, some of them did. This one that lived across the street, sister's the one I rode back with, and her sister, and the one that I called up, her name was Bass, I called her to tell Lowell, she was down there one time playing cards. And I got a little white at that time, and we had a grocery store down here. I think it was Alphabet, if I recall. And I used to take my little red wagon down in the morning when I had the time, and get my groceries. So one time, I come past where they were playing cards, and she told her husband, and her husband worked with my husband, rode to work together. So she told me, Johnny, he said, you tell Roy, he said, when Mrs. Bowman went by, she said, the ladies there that were playing cards told their kids to hurry down to Mrs. Bowman's house and get what you want to eat. They did. They come down here and they ate up the stuff that I would buy for the boys to fix their dinners the next day.
This is when you were working at
Douglas? That was when I was working at Douglas. Mm-hmm. And even after, when I was working in real estate, when I worked at the VA, it was the same old thing. So that made it hard. So Pop used to get angry. He'd come home. He'd jump me about it. He said, why feed all this neighborhood? I said, all right, you tell me what I can do with Marilyn. I said, I told her not to bring them in the house. She said, Mom, they come in anyhow. And Mary had a lot of boxes out there in the garage that she didn't want to have place for. And this kid, the boy that lived across the street, he'd come over here, he'd dump those boxes out, and then he'd go away and leave them all laid there on the ground. I told Mary, I said, well, you got to pick them up. I said, you let him dump them out. She said, Mom, what can I do? Well, I can realize that you couldn't do much about it. He was the one I swore I was going to beat up on him if I had caught him out. That boy's father. For lying about me.
Yeah, you talked about that.
Yeah.
What kinds of things during those years did you and your husband do together?
We never went through much together. If I wanted to go up to shows, I went with Marilyn or by myself. And I went to church. And the way he worked different shifts. And he stayed at home. He would go to my daughter's family, and they would play cards. We all went, and they'd play cards. I'd lay down in the van and sleep, because I had to go to work on 6 o'clock the next morning, but they didn't have to work the next day until late. Well, now, they played cards, but I never learned to play cards. Now, that's what they done. Now, that was all my children could play cards, and my daughter's family could all play cards. But I never learned to play cards. Now, that was their main thing. But I always went with him when he'd go up to the folks or anything like that. He'd always take me up there. But otherwise, I'd go to the show by myself or take Marilyn and go any day or every day. I had to get away anyway. I would do what work I could, and then I'd go to uptown. And I was always going on the bus.
Was life different for you after your children were grown and left home?
No, because I was still crippled. The more crippled I was, let's see. Marilyn was married in October 22nd, 1956. She went over to Honolulu and married her husband over there, but I made Pop go over with her at the time. Because I said, I was still working though. At that time, I was still working. She was 61 when I was let out, so that was 56. But the next day after Christmas, Roy got hit by an automobile up in Santa Monica. We was at my sister's, and he went across the street to go to a store to get some cigarettes, and when he came back, he was struck down by an automobile and had two broken bones in his leg. He never was well after that, though. He just went downhill right away after that. And then Mary stayed over at Honolulu for about a year and a half. And then they stopped by. She was pregnant when they come back. And then they moved to Junction City, Kansas. And Cheryl was born in Junction City, Kansas. And she was born in 58, I think it was, September 58. And then Beverly was married October 22nd, 1956. 2 years, or almost 2 years. And then Vernon, he and Sally, they went to Las Vegas and got married. He didn't tell me he was going to get married until I went back to Indiana, but they went to Las Vegas. But we had told Vernon that Sally was married and had a child. Well, we didn't know Sally very well.
How did you know that? I mean, she'd been married before.
Oh, yes, she had a child. Oh, yes, divorced and had a child. But she had had polio, and that was why her husband gave her up. But we didn't go against the polio part, because she got over that pretty good, better than what a lot of people might have. But we told Vernon, now you're marrying a family when you get married, and you're going to have problems that way. Now, that's all we ever talked to him about Sally. But Sally was a wonderful girl. We couldn't ask for a more wonderful person than what she was. She died at 42. And her youngest baby was not a year old. She died July. What time was it? July something. I thought I'd remember that. She died in July, and he was a year old September the 11th.
What did she
die of? That was this baby. Oh, let's see. What was it? Oh, well, she died of... what do you call that? Organ of the body that throws the juices all through the other organs. Not hepatitis. What in the heck do you call that? It was something that they seldom ever got through, or what it was. Oh, I can't think what the name of it is. Funny, I can't recall. I think of it maybe after bed, but right now I can't. It's like a sweetbread and a hog. I don't know. What do you call that? It's some kind of titus, but I can't recall the first part of it. But when she had that, that when she went to the hospital, the nurses told me that Sally was an awful sick girl, but they didn't think she was going to pull through, and I said I didn't think so either, because I was staying out at Lowell's house. He left home and on a vacation, and I got one of his encyclopedias, and I looked up about this sickness, and it said that they seldom ever got over it. So I asked him at the hospital, I asked the other doctor that was with Lowell at the time, I said, can they ever have a transplant? He said, they haven't yet, but I've seen the paper now, once in a while they're going to try it. And it's funny that I can't recall just what it was, but that's what she got in Georgia. She used to be more or less a, what if they don't like doctors, they don't have doctors?
Christian Science.
Yeah, she used to be more or less a Christian Science. But we insisted when the children come that they would be taken care of by doctors whenever they get sick or anything. But she couldn't have been helped, even if she hadn't have been a Christian Science. But she was a wonderful person. I still can't understand why she had to go. I still can't figure it. But it's one of those things you never know. So she asked me to be sure that the Vernon took the children to church, because she went to the church and she always wanted them in the church. And I said, I'll see to it that the children gets to church. So I told me that. And Roy was in the hospital the same time she was. I think his was over the cancer deal. If he had more cancer or something, I can't think what it was, but he's in the hospital at the same time. So they pushed her bed over to tell Roy to say hello or something like that to Mary's room. Because I went in and told her, I said, we're going to leave Sally. I said, there's no hopes for her. So he felt bad too. And he couldn't do anything about it. But that hurt Vernon. I know someone said, well, he just felt like God to do this thing. But I said, no, it isn't that. We never understand those things. We just don't know. Then he gets married to another woman, and she has a family. And she hated the kids. She don't have two of her kids. Her former husband has them. She used to be so mean to the kids. And, I don't know. I like Joan, but I said it was pitiful the way she done it. She used to write notes that the kids didn't do this, she was going to kill them, things like that. And then she'd tell them she loved them. I told some of them, I said, well, how would you feel if you was in a home where a mother would tell you that she loves you and then turn around and leave notes at your key if you don't get the housework done, maybe not do the housework thing? Maybe I shouldn't tell her. She always kept saying that she's going to get a divorce, get a divorce. That was one thing I told her, though, when they come and told me they was going to get married. I said, there's one thing about it. I said, you've been married 3 times before, and I said, I don't want a divorce. I said, I don't want a divorce in the home. I said, a lot of times we have to put up with it, but I said, I don't want it. And so she don't forget that. She don't forget me telling her that. Well, every once in a while, she'd say, well, she'd tell her she was going to divorce him. But one time she complained to me. I said, I'm going to tell you this much. If you ever leave him, he'll never take you back. So I said, you better be. I said, you got a nice home. You get anything you want. I said, you got as nice a home as anybody could have. And I said, now all the kids are gone. He's the last one to go. She wanted to stick him in a military right after marrying. I said to her one time, I said, you knew that Vernon had the 3 children. She said, yes, but I didn't know that it was such a task. She didn't get to keep her 2 children. One of the former husbands has up north, and he won't let her see them.
How old was that little boy when his father
remarried? 5 years afterwards, after Sally died. He was married 5 years to the day. I think it was May the 2nd or something like that. She died in August, September, July. I couldn't blame him for wanting to get married because I couldn't take care of his children. See, I was crippled and had my used a cane then, and I couldn't take care of the baby. Now, when Pop died, Lowell called me about 4 o'clock that morning, and I had Lowell's 2 girls here. And he told me the Pop had expired. I just fell back on the floor. I was shocked. I couldn't say anymore. And I just hung up, and I didn't talk to even tell the children that Pop was gone. So Lowell had told us all to come out to his house. So when I got out to his house, my brother comes to me. He says, well, Mom, I got a permanent job for you. I says, oh, no, you don't have a permanent job for me. I says, what will happen? He said, well, I could rent my house and get some money out of renting the house. And I said, yeah, I could come live with them and help to take care of the baby. I said, Vernon, I'm not able to take care of the baby. I said, I can't diaper him. I can't feed him. They have to be big enough to help to take care of themselves before I can come to help out in any way. But I said, I'll help out what I can. But I said, if I rent my house, they'll tear it to pieces. And I said, you know, you won't be worth living in until after people get you to ruin it. Some people hate to a landlord anyway. And I said, nothing doing. I said, Vernon, if I was able to take care of it, I said, I would have a job. And I said, I cannot do it. I said, I'm sorry, but I cannot come over here and live. And I said, you just have to get a housekeeper. So that's what we had to do.
What was it like for you after your husband died?
Well, I was prepared in a way from the time he was struck by the automobile. I practically lost him as a husband. He was no good. He could never do anything after that. So I told him, I said, well, I'm sorry, but I said, it harms me to try to do anything. And I said, can we just forget about it? So we forgot about sex after that. And I said, I don't run out on you. I said, I don't run out and have another man or anything. And I said, I've heard of so many women, it ruins their nerve system. And I said, I had to learn little by little what it would mean to not have him here, you know. And then he was so sick that he had to go to the hospital often, so I was more prepared than what a lot of women are. Some women can't take it at all. They just can't lose a man at all. I've got 2 friends back home. I thought they were both going to commit suicide. They just couldn't be without their man. Well, I figured that I did pretty good to be without mine. Because in a way, I was prepared to a certain extent, although I didn't want him to go, but he was so sick all the time for so long. And I told him one time, I said, I don't want to lose you, even if you are sick. As long as I have you, I feel pretty good about having him here. And I didn't mind having him here, even if he was sick, but I couldn't take care of him. He fell one time out of bed, and I said, I had to call Marilyn and the doctor to come down to pick him up. I said, I can't handle him. Cause I was a cripple with my cane, and I couldn't handle him. But I think I took it pretty well. I think I stood pretty well without having him. If he hadn't been so sick, it might have been different. But I wouldn't think about going out and commit suicide. I never thought of that. Because I always knew that somebody's going to go first or second. I know one time he come in, he talked to the neighbors. I don't know, some neighbors used to say things to him. It kind of bring him up. But, you know, I think that's wrong. And making remarks to him.